Hello and welcome to the Energy Talk podcast. My name is Olubunmi Olajide and thank you so much for joining us on another episode of our campfire series. This is episode 5 and today we're speaking with a very interesting group of people who met each other while doing their master's degree in the UK. Initially, their project was to build an energy literacy program to integrate into school curriculums in a specific area in Nepal. So we're going to be hearing about how they started this idea, why they chose this energy literacy project, how it's adapted, and obviously how it's been affected by the COVID outbreak. So we're going to be hearing a lot of things, just how projects can kind of shift on you in different ways, in ways you didn't expect, and how you can go from thinking about education to think about social issues as well. So I'm really excited to get into this, and let's start with introductions and learn about exactly what their project is.
Yeah, I'll just start with that. I'm Joshua. I'm currently based in Germany. And I studied in industrial engineering and management at the Technical University in Berlin before going to Durham for my master's in new and renewable energy. That's also where I met Kushal. We studied along there. And then after finishing my master's in October last year, I went to Nepal to work for a solar company. So we worked in doing solar projects for irrigation and electrification in rural areas in Nepal. And that's where I met Pramod as well, and where we got together for the project for the first time. And since then, it's going on. But now also, because of the current situation with the virus, I moved back to Germany and started my PhD here now in the south of Germany.
So my name is Kushal Gautam and I'm based in Kathmandu. So I was born and raised here. And so last year I was in the UK pursuing my master's. Like Joshua said, and I came back here and then, basically there was a lot of options. I was trying to figure out what I want to do next. And one of them was, last year I attended this Student Energy Summit in London. And as a spin-off, I think they had this energy program, a student energy program that I was really interested in. So when I came back here, I discussed with Pramod and Joshua whether we want to pursue that. And like, we all were excited about this. And besides this program, I also manage a consulting firm. It's a very recent consulting firm. My specialization is in solar technologies. So I've worked in off-grid technologies, on-grid technologies, mostly in the technical side. So right now I'm basically looking into kind of broadening my horizon.
Hi, I'm Pramod Rizal, and I have been working as a researcher at Institute for Integrated Development Studies. And last year I also went to UK for doing my master's in economic policy analysis. And after returning from UK, then we talked with each other, with Joshua and Kushal, to engage in this kind of projects. And in my graduate level study also, I have done a research related to energy. In Nepal, we have the hydropower sector is one which contributes a lot in energy sector. And I have also done thesis in that topic. And currently, I'm involved in a few projects related to economy and energy. Thank you.
So, our project is in the field of energy literacy. And we are currently working on building a curriculum for the topic of renewable energy as an extension of the national curriculum in Nepal. And this is basically focusing on primary school education and then some more solution-based approaches for secondary education as well.
Right. So basically the motivation for this project was that we thought that currently as it is now, there is some coverage of renewable energy systems in this school curriculum. So we're basically focused in years from 1 to 8. So just kind of going through what's covered now, it's very basic. They introduce the renewable energy technologies, they show how it works, but what we thought that we could bring in, and the gap that we saw was that now that climate change is such a hot topic and renewable energy is a part of that sphere where we are interested in, we thought that, okay, if we can integrate a higher level of knowledge in renewable energy technology than what it is right now in the curriculum, that means basically showing the pathway ahead. What are the challenges in the local and global context? Where are we now? What needs to change? So all these things are missing in the current curriculum. So we thought that we could kind of bring that into integration with the current revision that is going on with the curriculum and the textbooks that are currently in practice. Well, yes, it's focused in Nepal, but specifically one place. So it's in South Lalitpur, which is south of Kathmandu, just adjacent to Kathmandu. So it's just focused there right now because that's the pilot site. So we're not going nationwide right now. Okay. Where I think we can, I'll tell you more about the project as we progress further. But yeah, just in general, we're just focusing in one area right now. We're working with a locally based NGO, which is called Center for Rural Technologies. And they have a gender and social inclusive program under the, so that's the implementing program of this renewable energy curriculum. So initially when we submitted our application for student energy, we thought that, okay, we were quite ambitious, I should be honest. So we were ambitious and we thought, okay, we're gonna kind of break the, bring something profound into this renewable energy curriculum nationally, which didn't happen, and which was quite ambitious for this 8-month project. But basically, then we decided that, okay, we'll go with Center for Rural Technologies that is already in that space, that's already working with renewable energy textbooks and the Teachers Association. So we're supporting them. And before COVID-19, we basically submitted a feedback based on their pilot projects. So that is, they had already prepared a textbooks and course for years 1 to 5. They had implemented that in a school in South Lalitpur. And we collected feedback from the teachers for after 1 year. And then based on that feedback, we again we basically consolidated our feedback and the teachers' feedback into one report. And then we submitted that to Center for Rural Technologies. So that's where we were right before the lockdown. So after the lockdown, it's kind of hit the, we've hit a barrier right now. We need to sit down and discuss and kind of finalize that process. So that's where we were before.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely the case. So awareness is quite broad in terms of climate change and also the call for regulations and stuff. But then the basic knowledge about the energy systems is not there yet. And I would say if you start teaching that as an early age, like within the studies of basic physics and stuff, you get a better understanding of the whole topic and then maybe also develop solutions more quickly.
Right. So so right now we're basically waiting for the lockdown to be more relaxed so that basically all the teachers group and the NGO partner and us, we can kind of meet together in one room and discuss the changes. So it's been really tough to kind of coordinate remotely because some of the teachers are in remote locations with little to no internet connection. So because of that, even though some of us are connected, we can't kind of get everybody in one place to discuss that. So but we decided that, so for 2 months it was a halt. And then after that, we decided that, okay, we'll move together and then we'll kind of start working on the curriculum development for next phase. So that would be for years 6 to 8. So we're kind of drafting the curriculum right now. We're just kind of putting things together with what we have right now. And then once everything's relaxed, we'll get back together and then there are two things to complete. First is to confirm that, to discuss on the feedback that we provided before and kind of close that down so that the textbooks can go to reprint. And the next step is to kind of plan exactly how this curriculum is to be developed. So right now we're going independent with what we know so that we have something while we go there in the next phase. But yeah, we will have to see how it goes.
Now that we've heard from Pramod, Kushal, and Robin about what their project is, it's very difficult to continue the conversation without addressing the giant elephant in the room, which is the fact that their program is aimed towards people in schools and in early years of their schooling education. And with the lockdown, people can't go to schools anymore. And that obviously is something we have to address. As many of you may know, a country like Nepal is a developing country, and not everybody might have the same access to steady internet or even steady electricity for that matter. So that presents like a huge challenge. And I just used the opportunity to ask the team what they thought about this conversation and how this lockdown has affected their program. And more broadly, I asked them how this is affecting in terms of inequality and what they see, and just asked for their own personal experiences from everything that's going on. So we're going to be hearing from them as well. And I think this is going to be a very interesting exchange that's going to happen in the next few minutes.
Yeah. Same here in Nepal as well. Most of the schools do not have access to the internet, and only the high-end schools and the schools where the kids of rich people are studying, they have access to internet, reliable internet, I would say. And they have also developed this kind of online platform to teach their students. But in the meantime, the Ministry of Education brought a circular or notice that the Ministry of Energy said that not to teach in online platform, because what happened is when the private school started to teach through online platform, they are also collecting the fee as well. And some of the schools are collecting fees without going in the online platform as well. And in this way, and some of the wealthy schools, some of the good schools which has reliable internet and we have developed the online platform also could not teach through the online.
Yeah. We didn't really foresee this, but I think one of the motivation for doing this kind of aligns with the situation now, because like I said, like the whole world, the energy scenario is transforming, and especially in South Asia, it will go through a major transformation. And Nepal now is going from centralized to decentralized systems, a lot of off-grid technologies, grid expansion. Nepal government has big plans, really. So basically, Nepal government plans to add another 5,000 megawatt in the next 5 years, right? So to integrate with those big plans, we need the current youth and the students in school to kind of catch up to that vision. So I think that's where our primary motivation lies. And coming back to climate change, we talk about climate change, and everybody loves talking about it. It's a very interesting debate, and you can go hours with that discussion. But when it comes to implementing that in your life, it's a challenge, because you have to give up some convenience for probably the greater good, right? So integrating all of that into schooling, and we can't do everything, but we can actually, with our knowledge in renewable energy, that's where we think we can contribute. So in Nepal, later on, like you said, like there are a lot of places that still don't have electricity. We still stand at around 80% electrification. We plan to reach 99% electrification by 2030. But again, when I say electrification, there's a question about the reliability of the grid in many places. So to reach there, we need greater awareness in students right now, so that when they grow up, they think of these problems, and whatever sector they go in, they are aware of their energy usage, that they're conscious about what they're doing, they are conscious about the environment, and it becomes a default way of thinking rather than constantly being reminded about what's a good thing to do. Yeah,
I agree. And something I've found with the conversations I've had is, so let me just give a bit of my background. I studied petroleum engineering, and I didn't know anything about energy policy or about climate change.
Oh, come on. You can't join this. You can join this call.
And none of my professors, none of my lecturers even mentioned the thing about climate change. And this was 4 years through my studying. And it's after I got out and after I studied this podcast, I started learning about, energy policy is a thing. It's not just about engineering projects and there's renewable energy and, there's climate change. And, it's actually quite a big deal. And, you know, all these things were kind of like new information to me. And one thing that I've realized is in the conversation about climate change and renewable energy, something that always gets highlighted is the level of inequality that you're forced to look at. It's almost like you can't ignore it. If you're working in the renewable energy sector, you're forced to look at people that don't have electricity access. You see the people that their families don't have a lot of income and they're in very rural areas and the governments have almost like left them alone. And these things are becoming some things that you can't really ignore. And since you guys have spent so much time working in the sector, is this something that you guys have also seen? Because you guys have way more years working in this and seeing this than I have. So is this something that kind of like you've seen and motivates what you guys do?
Right. About inequalities, I think Joshua can provide a different perspective from ours because my focus has been in the rural areas. So inequality in rural areas from energy systems, yes. So one thing that's still a barrier about taking energy systems, especially say in areas that don't have grid electricity, the options are solar energy, for Nepal at least, because we have good resource of solar energy. But still, a barrier of solar energy is that the upfront cost is huge, right? And then that's, I think, the biggest barrier. So still, there are programs that are implemented through donor agencies by subsidies. So a lot of systems are highly subsidized, and they are implemented in different phases through donor agencies. In a way, that's good. There's a good and bad to that side. The good side is that, okay, people who previously didn't have electricity have electricity right now. But you think about, okay, the sustainability of the projects. And by sustainability, it's such a big word, but what I mean by sustainability in this sense is that tomorrow, because you're providing systems for free or at a very low cost, tomorrow, there is no business environment in that area for solar, right? So people will always be expecting a free energy system. And in that sense, always the people who rank high within that community, and especially in Nepal, we have different caste systems. And it's usually when the program gets implemented, the people within the community who fall on the higher side, on the higher class level, are the ones that benefit first. And then the technology kind of trickles down to the marginalized groups, right? So there is inequality. If they were to buy systems themselves, then renewable energy technologies, especially solar, is still expensive upfront. So there's a lot of there's a lot of areas that are being explored about access to finance, a different mechanism for subsidy mobilization. So there's a lot of So basically right now you'll hear that there has to be an innovative business model. I think the world is transitioning from straight off subsidy to some innovative business model where they can maintain a certain business environment within the areas that they're working on. So, and that will reduce inequality, and people who are actually in need will actually be able to access energy systems.
Yeah, maybe I can have a little different perspective on that, because when I grew up and also still when I studied, I always took energy access and the constant supply of energy, being it heat or electricity, as something granted. And it basically took until I studied in the UK when I came along the term energy poverty. And there was a professor really researching in that at Durham. And there's actually energy poverty is a big topic even in first world industrialized countries, especially now within this transition towards a like less carbonized energy system. And there's even in countries like Germany and the UK, there's death related to energy poverty, as people can't pay for their energy, for their heating systems during the winter, whereas as a consequence, they get sick more often. And Kushal said it before, renewable energy systems mainly, mostly, not in all cases, but come with a higher upfront costs. And therefore, this whole transition towards more renewable energy systems does make energy a bit more expensive in our days. So we always need to see this social aspect of transitioning our energy sector. And we always have to regard the consequences in that case as well. Also in countries that are upfront in transition to its renewable systems.
Right. So in my view, I think it should be, the industry should grow holistically. It's not like one solution like that you just promote the technology and everything's going to be fine. I think there has to, every citizen has to be aware. And that's a very massive challenge when every country has their own interest in mind, right? And to utilize their resources and then export it. So, and when we're talking about energy system in the future of a clean energy, we're talking global. We're not just talking local. So I think we need to have a global perspective. And for me, at least with this project, it trickles down to education. Education just doesn't mean that you have a textbook that they're reading and you just memorize everything. It's about showing you the vision of what's ahead and for you to explore. So if we can provide that vision, especially in the energy sector, I think that's an impact that will roll over in the coming decades and probably take us towards the transition that that we should.
So what I would say is that people should be aware that I think in this future energy system, the focus is on the local level and the change happens on the local level. And whereas in the old system, or probably the current system, mostly centralized players kind of having the big share, the local authorities and the citizens themselves can actually drive that change, and that they should rather see it, not see it as a challenge and a change to their lives, more like a chance to actually take a bigger role and get involved and provide for that change in the system.
In my opinion, actually, the awareness is the key thing. That's why we have also chosen this education project. And there are a lot of negative sides of the COVID-19, but during this time, there are the vehicles could not run with the dirty fuels, and the people who are living in the Kathmandu Valley, they realize the importance of the renewable energy as well as the environment. As the environment is relatively cleaner nowadays, and now a lot of people they start recognizing the importance of the renewable energy also. Not only this, during this lockdown period, because of the clean environment, the cases of illness have been also drastically reduced, and in this way the people have realized the importance of renewable energy, environment, and all those things.
Yeah, I would just add to Pramod's point. I think he brought a very interesting point, at least in the local context. So Nepal relies heavily in import fuels from India, right? And so it's crucial that if that chain is broken, say, and we did suffer that in 2015 in the Indian blockade, where basically all the fossil fuel petroleum products were blocked in the border, and then the whole country was in crisis. So this is also having that awareness of renewable energy technologies and alternative technologies for the replacement of petroleum-powered mechanisms, right? That will push us towards more independency, and I think Nepal will be more reliant by using the resource that it has and a cleaner energy resource. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on another Campfire episode. This was a very great conversation with Pramod, Kushal, and Joshua. I want to thank them all for joining me on this episode. And you will notice a trend in every Campfire episode, we focus on different countries. So today was Nepal. We've had Nigeria, the USA, Bolivia, India in the podcast so far. And this is quite intentional, just to show you, the listeners, that young people around the world are working actively in the energy industry to solve problems and to be an active part of solutions. And I want that to be a really key point to the rest of the Campfire series. We're over halfway through the series, and we have about two or three episodes left until we round off the Campfire series and start with our season three episodes. So it's really important that young people realize that it's never too late to start. There's always a capacity where you can apply yourself, whether it's locally, and especially with the internet and platforms that can give you opportunities and really boost your voice. So get involved. That's the best way to learn and the best way to find solutions where you can uniquely use your skills to apply yourself. So thank you again. If you love the podcast and you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on our rest of our other episodes or Campfire series. And for when we start season three sometime in September, don't forget to leave us a rating or review so more people can find the podcast. And I'll appreciate it if you join us again next time. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful week.